Psalm 142 belongs to a very turbulent period in the history of David. King Saul had suddenly turned on him and threatened his life. And unable to understand why this should be, David had gone to the prophet Samuel for advice. Samuel told him to keep his faith in God because one day God would give him the kingdom. Meanwhile, he should leave Saul's territory and go where the king couldn't reach him. So David had gone to Gath, hoping to find safety. But Gath was one of the Philistine cities, and the men of Gath were quick to realize that this fugitive from the kingdom of Saul looked very much like the man who had once inflicted a terrible defeat upon them in battle. And David, too, recognized that his life was in danger. So he pretended to be mad. And this undoubtedly saved his life, because they wouldn't kill a madman, since they believed that in some way the Spirit spoke through him and gave messages through him. In this way, David managed to withdraw and finally found shelter in the cave of Adullam in the limestone hills not far away from Bethlehem, his hometown. When the news broke that David was hiding in the cave, his own family came out to be with him, along with a remarkable raggle-taggle army of 400 people who were the distressed and the debtors and the discontented. And as David looked at this unlikely army of social misfits and outcasts, and thought how his friends had turned upon him, how Saul, whom he'd served so faithfully and well, had abused him, how the people who'd been ready to praise him had now forgotten him, he couldn't suppress his feeling of loneliness and depression. He was a fugitive. Samuel, his old friend and adviser, was now dead. And out of the deep sorrow of his heart, David exclaimed, "Refuge hath failed me. No man careth for my soul. No man is concerned about me." I'm sure you can sense the note of sadness in the voice of David as he speaks. "No man careth for my soul." Certainly the nation didn't seem to care about him. The people had been ready enough to praise him when he won his great victory over Goliath the giant. And they'd been ready to say, "Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." He'd been the idol of the people then. But the popular memory is always very short, and yesterday's heroes are soon forgotten. That is what David quickly learned. He couldn't turn to the people for concern and help. And what about all those who'd streamed out to be with him in the cave? Well, they certainly hadn't any concern for him. They didn't care for his soul. They were people running away from their creditors, discontented people, people who were themselves distressed. Their thoughts were filled only with their own problems. The discontented, they were introspective people, looking inwardly all the time, concerned only with themselves, wondering why they weren't doing better, why they weren't getting a better deal. And the debtors, worried, wondering whether their creditors were going to catch up with them, and how they would manage to pay them if they did. And the distressed, people burdened with their own problems and their own cares of one kind or another. Why, they had only come to David because they wanted him to carry them, to be concerned for them. They had nothing to offer to him. He could look at them and say, "No man careth for my soul." So if David ever felt alone, it must have been then. And I wonder if you know how he felt. Perhaps you do in some degree. There are so many people who are lonely and feel unwanted and uncared for even today. Even in our welfare society, there are many people dying in loneliness and despair and in spiritual need. Because a welfare state, even functioning at its most efficient, can only care for physical needs. It cannot offer spiritual help. "No man careth for my soul" may be true today. Now let me stress the fact that you have a soul. And your soul is the most important part of your being, far more important than your body. Jesus says, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body, but after that have nothing that they can do unto you, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in Hades." He says again, "You have nothing more important, more valuable than your soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now that soul will either be saved or lost. That is to say, it will either enjoy eternity in the presence of God, or continue to exist in exclusion from that presence. The Apostle James says, "Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So Jesus says the soul can be lost, and James says the soul can be saved. Now, in the bitterness of David's experience, he felt that no one cared for his soul. And that is surely a terrible feeling for anyone to have. But, of course, David was wrong. Just as we are today, if we ever feel that nobody cares for us. In the first place, let me tell you that God cares for your soul. After all, God is your creator. He sees your potential. He knows what you may become. You're important to him. Oh, I know that the people with whom we associate, with whom we work, have no deeper lasting interest in our spiritual well-being at all. But God is different. Even friends may sometimes listen politely to our problems and then go their way and quickly forget all about us, but not God. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says that he spared not his own son, but freely offered him up for us all. He commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is a hymn that is based upon one of the verses in another psalm that says, can a mother's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. God cares for your soul, because love is the nature of God. God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who cares for your soul? The Lord Jesus Christ cares. Why, his actions reveal this. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law. So the very coming of Christ into the world is the evidence of his care for us. He didn't have to come. Jesus didn't need to leave heaven and enter human life as a baby, living in a world that lacked most of the amenities that we consider to be necessities today. It wasn't necessary for him to empty himself and make himself a homeless, traveling preacher without a place to lay his head. It wasn't necessity, if you rule out his care for your soul. And when Jesus came, he made himself the friend of the outcasts and the sinners. That's what they called him. Which shows that these poor people discovered that they had a friend in Jesus, somebody who cared for them. And when you see Jesus sitting on the hillside, looking out across the valley at the city of Jerusalem, and you see the tears in his eyes, and you hear the break in his voice as he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chickens beneath her wings, but you would not. You realize that Jesus cares. During the bombing on London, Mr. Churchill went along to some of the slums to see how the homes of the ordinary people had been destroyed by the bombs. And as he stood there looking at the shattered houses, with the crowd gathered about him, the tears began to run down Mr. Churchill's face. And one old woman there who'd just lost her home and members of her family turned around to the others and said, "He cares. He really cares." Now, that's what you say about Jesus. Jesus cares. What was it that took him to Gethsemane? But care for your soul. What was it that caused him to bear the cross to Calvary and to suffer and to die in agony? The fact that he cares for your soul. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. He died in your place. He died for you. Furthermore, the things that Jesus said reveal that he cares for us. He said, as the good shepherd, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. He talked about there being joy among the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And the promises he made reveal his care for our souls. In John 14, he said that he couldn't leave these broken-hearted disciples feeling they were being left alone. He said to them, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, whatever that may reveal, whatever it may mean about heaven, whether it's a place of many mansions, or whether it's far beyond the bright blue sky, or whatever it is, all that's relatively unimportant. The great truth that shines out from these words is the fact that Jesus Christ wants you to be where he is. He cares enough about you to want you to be with him. In John 17, verse 24, he said, Father, those whom thou hast given to me, I will that where I am, they also may be with me. that they may behold my glory. Jesus cares so much about us that he wants us to be with him. And that's surely heaven. There's a hymn that says, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And in order to make that promise a reality, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I say that Jesus cares for your soul. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants you to be with him. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, cares for your soul. Now, perhaps this may not be so obvious or as easy to grasp as the idea that God and Christ care for us, because many people do not think of the Holy Spirit as a being or a personality with feelings or emotions. But that's where they're wrong. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is capable of loving those who love God. In Romans 15, verse 30, Paul speaks of the love of the Spirit, and that is the love which the Holy Spirit has for us, the love of which he is capable. Now, how do we know that the Holy Spirit cares for our soul? Well, the fact that we have a Bible should prove it. The Holy Spirit inspired men in the writing of the Bible. It is the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth. And the fact that we have a Bible today is due to the activity of the Spirit of God. He guided the apostles into all truth. He brought things back to their remembrance that they had been taught by Jesus. He taught them what to say. Why, this is the age of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Jesus had finished his work on earth and had returned to God. But before he left, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. And he went on to speak about the work of the Spirit when he came into the world. He said he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now the Holy Spirit came upon the day of Pentecost, as Acts chapter 2 teaches. He guided the apostles in the preaching of the gospel. And he is busy every time you hear the story of Jesus. Because through the word, the Holy Spirit is trying to persuade people to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. How could you ever think that nobody cared for your soul when the Spirit of God is pleading with you, nudging your conscience, perhaps touching your heart with the gospel, trying to guide you in the way that will bless you and save you? You know, whenever you've heard a sermon that has moved you, or opened your eyes, or made you feel that you ought to do something about taking a stand for Jesus, this has not been the work of the preacher. There is no man clever enough to do that. This has been the Holy Spirit at work who cares for you, reaching out to touch your soul with the word. The Holy Spirit cares for your soul. And do you know that while they're not to be compared with the foregoing personalities about whom I've just spoken, that is God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, it is a fact that Christians, members of the Lord's church, care for your soul. That is why programs such as this are prepared. Because if you're not a Christian, we truly care about you. It's why we take the trouble to tell you of the blessings that God offers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we want to share them with you. And at the same time, we want to warn you of the terrible consequences of dying outside of Jesus Christ. Indeed, I dare tell you tonight that while this program is going out, there are men and women in various parts of the country praying for you if you're not a Christian. They're asking God to work on your heart, to open your eyes, to touch your conscience, to help you to recognize your need of a Savior. You see, we care about you. And we're not saying this in any cheap or sanctimonious fashion, but we feel you ought to know it, because it is the truth. And also let me put it to you plainly like this, that in the world today, the only people who care about your soul are Christians. Your non-Christian friends and companions aren't interested. Why should they be? Or how could they be? Why, they're not even interested in their own souls in many instances, so why should they be concerned about yours? In fact, I suppose that many of our friends either don't know that they have souls at all, or if they do know, they're just not concerned, because they don't realize the importance of a soul. I think you should thank God that his love in the hearts of others makes Christians concerned about you. But you know, there's a question remaining, and it's simply this. How much do you care about your own soul? You see, although I'm able to tell you tonight that God loves you, and that Jesus died for you, and that the Holy Spirit pleads with you, and that Christians pray for you, at the end of it all, the one who must decide what becomes of your soul is you. Now the chorus is going to sing another well-known hymn for us, and it's the hymn, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. And by the way, if in the course of these programs you've heard any hymns that you'd like to hear again, why not drop us a card and let us know the name of the hymn, and we'll be sure to have it sung for you in a later program.